or even how it is to work with yourself when you know what you've done. And all you can do is, I've been there. I ain't there no more. That's the only way you, how can we go on? I mean, being there even. And look somebody in the face and be, I'm going to tell other men about how not to do something that I may have done. Or I may have been guilty of damaging a woman somewhere. And I, you know, I guess it's just how we deal with everything we've done, you know. If you truly understand what, quote unquote, atonement is, then atone. Whatever that
it
is.
It ain't an event, it's a process.
Whatever it looks like, do it, you know. And if that's how you live with yourself, is that same way how I live with myself and some of the things I've done as a kid. I pray for maturity. And I understand it ain't about years and growth. It's about the work. That's the only way I can live with some of my own acts.
I mean, it's real sad for me to hear your realities around this. Okay, and it's very painful. And as I say that, I think about my struggles and how I try to deal with this struggle in the world. And I go back to the experience that we had at the retreat training, Kwame. Mm-hmm. And when the piece was said that you said in the room, and I remember for me trying to figure out, I said, now, what my brother is saying right here, recognizing the impact that it was having on the group, because I was starting out the door, recognizing that, and I said, now, wait a minute, how do I come back in this room, and how do I take care of Kwame? And I remember coming back in the room saying, Kwame, let me just check out with what I heard you saying. And I remember trying to reword it in a way that would take it off the spot.
Make it more palatable.
Make it more palatable. I was trying to figure out how the hell to do that for my brother. And wasn't in the room recognized, oh shit. You know, the bomb has been dropped. How can I rescue the folk and clean it up? And I couldn't do that. Because bro came right back and said, no, Suleiman, that's not what I'm saying. You know what I mean? In so many ways, that's what he said to me, you know? And I couldn't, but there was a place where the struggle for me was to take care of him in the midst of all these white folk. You see what I mean? And then how to do that. And then how to respect the women in the room. And so, I mean, it's a constant struggle of accountability. You see what I mean? And on every level.
Right, because there is no abandoning of Kwame in that moment, and there is no abandoning of the women in that room in that moment. You know, no one needs to be abandoned to make someone else's pain. Yeah. I mean, who decides whose pain is the pain?
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, it just gets totally confusing at that point. Mm-hmm. It just gets totally confusing. And it's like, what's right and what's wrong?
Right.
And who's the determiner here?
But there ain't none.
Yeah.
There ain't no right and wrong. There ain't no safety. There ain't no fucking right way or wrong way. The only right way I can figure out in this moment is to use, what's her name's phrase, to be in integrity with yourself. Mm. That's the only guiding principle I can figure out in this fucking work. Because all of our other fucking sacred cows are nothing but illusions. Mm-hmm. You know?
And I'm like, if you're integrity with yourself, then who are you? What's the battle going on then? Mm-hmm. To protect Kwame? To protect men?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To protect the black folk? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. All these battles exist simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And you know, and I don't know I've compartmentalized myself for so long that that's the only thing I'm unwilling to do no more. I'm not willing to do that, to bring in whatever piece of me that makes you feel okay. You know, and I am good at determining what you need, you know. So I always was good at bringing in whatever piece you could stomach, mm-hmm. you know. I always, you know, I do that, you know. So some of my commitment to myself is, you know, what's the best way you can take care of yourself, Lisa? Mm-hmm. That should be the guiding thing, and not in a selfish nature, but then again in a selfish, because ain't nobody looking out for me but me, and I'm going to model that behavior of how to best take care of myself, and then it ain't that hard for you to do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sit over there and figure out what I need. I can tell you, when I'm crying, hand me a Kleenex. so I could blow my nose, because I'm worried about what I look like with snot running down my face, you know. But I'm going to tell you what I need, you know. But I also can tell you that it can make me, you know, stop and be, oh, let me wipe these tears instead of feeling, you know. Maybe you hand me the Kleenex after I'm looking really bad, you know, as opposed to the first snot balls, you know. But it's just like, you know, I need to figure it out. And I really would rather figure it out with y'all. I mean, I actually, you know, feel pretty safe in this moment. I mean, I at least feel like y'all are compassionate, you know, as opposed to when I sit in groups and we can just decide how y'all feel. I can actually look at y'all and see what y'all feel like. And that's when I know that it's time for me. You know, I told people when I was in my angry woman mode that I need to stay away from black men. But clearly, I'm in my angry black woman mode. And clearly, the process needs, I need to be around them. Because that's what bought all that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that fear and isolation to see possibly that there are some men that I can count on as allies. That's what the sad part was. That's where all the emotion came from, seeing somebody who could possibly be there with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or who would possibly, quote unquote, stay in the room. And just that image alone was just too powerful to handle. Because that's how I had protected myself. They won't stay. And just that image alone was like, gosh, do you know how much room that opens up to do other work, you know? Am I ready for this? You know, so it's like, I give it back to you, you know? It's like, I could tell you, you know, every time I heard you say, I ain't gonna do a group, it was a powerful one. You know, and I got a lot out of that conference, even if I came to that conference thinking, black men can't eradicate sexism. All they can do is perpetrate it. That's all they can do.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually believe that, you know.
I hear you.
How you doing, TV?
Mr. Silent over there. Your emotions usually are right on top. When the speaker's struggling to be silent, I don't know.
This
is what it looks like when you're dealing with white men and white women. I mean, this is what challenging them on white supremacy, intersectionality of issues looks like. When you ask people to be accountable for their behavior, then it becomes a struggle with themselves to run from accountability or to stay in the room with your reality. That's what it looks like.
I want to bring up the issue of people touching each other. Because that's one imposition from the white world that I strongly feel. That we are not given any process of touching each other that's not in a sexualized context. You know? And there have been many times in our processes as AAI that I felt we could make some immediate breakthrough if men knew how to touch each other in this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You talking about men touching each other or men touching us?
I think they feel more comfortable touching us because that's at least is normative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that would let them off the hook. You know? But the challenge of touching each other is a real fucking barrier in this room. I mean, and I'm not talking about the pro forma hug that we all give each other, which is a breakthrough. So I'm not going to, you know, talk about that not being valid. I mean, I think that's very, very important. But I have seen some real emotional interchanges going on amongst the men in this room, that the barrier of men not being able to touch each other has made worse. You know? And at some point, I mean, I'm not saying it has to be done now, but at some point, brothers, y'all gonna have to peel that
look
back.
At that. Yeah.
You know, gonna have to peel it back. It'll address issues of homophobia. But I actually think it's even deeper than homophobia. It's about men talking about it's not all right to be in need. Men thinking that it's all that they are not supposed to be in need of physical contact, only sexual.
You all touch each other sexually?
Yes.
I don't know. I was just going to say something. One thing I was going to discuss with you later when we hooked up is the whole issue of the issue of hugging and touching, too. Because, like, when we hugged, this is what it felt like. This means it's real. It felt like how a woman who's been violated hugs a man, sort of a little bit sort of back. It just felt that way. Why, I don't know, but I was going to say, that was one thing I wanted to explore. I do know that, and it's probably based on our relationship, when TP and I hug, I mean, we just into a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, you know, I mean, it's, I mean, he can probably comment. I mean, all I know is that I almost wish I was as tall as he so I could lift him up like he lifts me up. But it feels good. And I know that I'm still working on, you know, embracing men. I'm at a stage right now, even with my son. I mean, while he was younger and stuff like that, I mean, hug and kisses all day. I mean, he's a little bit older. You know, I caught myself sort of, you know, well, am I supposed to be doing this, you know, right now? Then I say, well, yes, I still am. Mm-hmm. But because of my, you know, my socialization, I'm still on this flip little mode and say, well, I got to, you know, work beyond that.
If you can't hug and kiss your own son, goddamn, what does that say about other men?
But it's constant work.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about you particularly. I'm talking about the whole social paradigm that says men cannot hug and kiss their own son beyond a certain age.
I wonder.
You love most of the world.
That's right. For me, I think that now is the time that you said it. Meanwhile, I'm feeling it. I think that's interesting. That's what you feel. What I would own, the number of layers. One, first of all, family of origin. Let's start with that. I grew up in a family system where that didn't happen. Period. Touching was not part of how we were living. And so then you add the sex. Sex is part of that. So you have family of origin. The sex isn't part where the only time that touch ever happened was in the context of being with a woman. Later on, of course, men came into the picture, but my first sexual experience with men came like 18, 19. So there was a whole history of sexual relationship with women, and so sex was only in the touching was only in the context of sex. So I remember the first time, you know, I came to this culture, and also there was a cultural piece. I mean, there were a number of layers where it just wasn't happening. I mean, I just didn't see it.
It don't happen in the black community just per se. I mean, this is something that begins like in the women's movement where we start touching, but that is not a black thing either. It's just to come into the room and hug someone.
So then you have those three pieces. And then so when I came to this country, I mean, I observed a lot more of that. I remember the first time, there was a friend of mine who was male who actually hugged me, and I froze. You know, I was age 19, and it was because it was just like, oof, it felt very, very weird. And I realized then, as I really become more conscious about my own stuff, that I got a lot of work to do around touching. So there's a historical piece around that. The other layer is homophobia. I mean, I know, I project stuff in terms of what I feel. So, you know, when Loretta brought the issue up last month in terms of talk about us not looking at each other and work to be done and man, that whole piece again, is that my own projection is that there is some discomfort with you around homosexuality and that whole issue. I don't know, that's my own projection. And that would be one of the issues for them today that I would like us to go over and talk about. So we started on the same track, but in a different way. That when I experience that and feel that, it becomes really, really hard to physically relax because I wonder, God, what might he be thinking? Physically touching a gay man, you know, because it's there. I bring that to it, you know, and it's a whole different energy. I speculate, and certainly it is for me, touching a man who is not identified as being gay. I really believe there's a different energy there, whether conscious or not, and I know it is conscious for me. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm, that's there. So I think that's part of what you felt. So it varies from person to person in that degree, despite all that I bring. So I'm just saying that's really it for me.
Maybe we need to have a group orgy or something. Break the shit off. Damn! A group touch-a-thon. I'm sorry. I was going to say that, but it's an idea. Women taught each other to touch by rolling around on the floor with each other.
That's true.
Blindfolded.
There's a place where I don't know what else to say about it except that. Work on this problem. Brothers not touching one another. The place where I need to come on some pain that I felt a little while ago that didn't have anything to do with brothers acknowledging one another. It had to do with your response to Suleiman. The Suleiman knows that doesn't necessarily work for you in the same way about work for somebody else. But at the moment that you said no, that hurt me. And I couldn't get out of that moment. Then when you went on and explained, I felt like that was important for you to share that with us. But I'll be honest, I couldn't completely forget. I mean, you said thank you. And I'm not trying to read your reaction, but it hurt me. Because I can know how I would feel if I tried to extend to you the way you extended to me over at MSV and you came and stood behind me. I deeply appreciated that. But for me to try to give you a handkerchief, just for you to say, no, it just hurt.
Other things we find just through the practice of self-help is that people can be so uncomfortable with people's tears that there's a whole set of interrupting behaviors that we engage in when people cry.
Mm-hmm.
We stroke them, we rock them,
mm-hmm.
we call ourselves comforting them, but in fact we're trying to interrupt them because it hurts to see them cry.
Mm.
You know, and so for me, all of those things interrupt my tears. They don't help me get that release that I'm trying to get at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what we teach is to stop it. You know, it's like if we say stop crying, mm-hmm. you stop the pain, as opposed to keep crying, go mm-hmm. over, make that noise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we don't stop, we stop because that's what we've been taught to mm-hmm. think that if we stop the tears, but basically that's our discomfort. Mm-hmm. In watching it, you know, have you ever just encouraged somebody to wail as loud as they want?
And just let the snot run down.
You know, just look as nasty as you want, you know, and it's bad, you know, and it's like just to continue to see tears, but also even in terms of not the perception of trying to stop some tears, but the perception of what it felt like to reject comfort is what I hear you saying, and but also be able to hear the fact that one needs the space to be able to cry, but what it felt like for you for Loretta to reject his comfort
mm-hmm.
and how it felt for you to receive her comfort. And is that a rejection of him and his comforting hand or whatever, you know, as opposed to a tissue, hold my hand. You know, that,
yeah.
you know, reach out your hand and hold my hand
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
offer me that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a matter of just saying
which
what I need.
Rejected.
But each of us
mm-hmm.
has to be in a position to hear what is painful to one and what is needed by one and not to feel. I mean, because we're going to feel whatever we feel.
Yeah.
But to hear it is to hear it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
That there's some need of comfort and there was not a negative
go away energy, but you know, give me this kind of energy. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when you wish to be out there for somebody. Mm-hmm. Can you really hear what they want, as opposed to what you want to give them?
And that was the blessing in that experience for me. You see, I don't know if I was so much offering this to you as comfort or support.
Oh, I feel okay, wonderful.
And then for you to do that to me was an appreciation, because I heard a piece that I hadn't heard. Mm-hmm. You see, because there's times in the classroom, mm-hmm. I'll give a man a mm-hmm. tissue and at the same time encourage him to release the tears. What's holding mm-hmm. him up?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So I didn't see it as a stoppage, but just a support piece. But at the same time, for you to say that to me, it was just beautiful. And I appreciate that. But I'm at a point in life where I can appreciate those kinds of things and not feel any way hurt about them. Because it's a growing experience for me. It's hearing another person's reality and being respectful of it to see how can I be in this moment that's continuing to support and not me shutting down and going off and like, what the hell with her? You know, she didn't take the damn tissue. As opposed to me going to that place, how can I still be here and learn from this? Because now I have a piece of knowledge. You know, and I don't know that the next time I see a person cry that I'm going to offer them some tissue as opposed to, come on, let it go. You know, what's holding it up? You know, or something like that. I mean, and I say that more so to brothers because I'm real careful about how I approach women around these particular issues. Now, I'll experiment with you and I, you see what I mean? But I would probably check myself and see if another sister's going to respond first, maybe.
And you know, simple, can I hold your hand?
Yeah.
You know,
asking the question too, as opposed to just reaching out, asking that question.
Right. I mean, whereas it might be wonderful even just to say, can I hold your hand? Mm-hmm. And interrupt me for a moment, you know, mm-hmm. grab it and then be stay with the moment, you mm-hmm. know, whatever.
Yeah. Because see, that's another piece too, is that a lot of times we don't ask. Mm-hmm. We just go ahead and do.
That's true.
Because that's my way in the world.
Same comfort level with it that we have. When yeah. I ain't have it when I started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to assume that when you can hug somebody freely, there's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a feeling. You exchange the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If there's none of that, why are you reaching out to hug somebody you don't feel nothing with anyway?
Right.
You know, because I watch myself do that. And other folk I don't even have no connection with and be wondering why.
And also me feeling that and you not.
Right.
You see what I mean? So how do I process? Wow, I thought we had a thing here. If I, you don't want me to touch it, what's that about? Oh, okay, shit. You know? So it's all that, you know?
I'm still old school. No, he's when I was in my hand was up. I'm still old school. No, I was going to say.
That's when I was going to ignore it until you get emboldened enough to speak up.
No, I was going to say. No, all I was going to say is that, it was through my experience with my mother making transition and being, in certain respects, a year in denial about, you know, trying to be strong, that I got to that. It was after that experience that I began to ask folks, or at least say them, you know, it's okay to cry if you want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go ahead and share. It helped me out, you know. It mm-hmm. helped heal the hasten the process as opposed to prolong the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even done that recently, within the last 4 days, you know, where, you know, I was like you, encouraging the tears,
mm-hmm.
encouraging to allow, you know, that release, you know, that being healthy and okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really important discussion around that, because when Loretta said that I was with her, I was like, yes. Because they're so subtle.
Right.
Those stoppers come in really subtle ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a culture that wanted to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more about us,
mm-hmm.
our own discomfort than it is about being supported, but perhaps operating again unconsciously more than anything else. Having said that too, I want to not get lost appreciating you, Tandibanta, for sharing that's what it meant to you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this discussion is more about understanding it further, just elaborating
mm-hmm.
further on what Loretta said, and not to discount that's
right.
what it meant to you either,
that's
because
right.
that's
mm-hmm.
just as valid. Okay. You having an experience that way is a valid experience, and there are lots of good reasons for that.
And what happens if he went home with all of that?
Exactly.
Right.
Because
you know,
it wasn't...
You enter
yeah.
the next time, you know,
right.
into, you know, it's like how much of us go home with something, you know,
mm-hmm.
that
what?
We don't say because we... Someone
the
may
risk
perceive
of emotional
it.
Shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Is the real risk.
Violence.
Mm-hmm.
emotional.
That's but yeah, I went somewhere.
We had noticed the TV had shut down.
Maybe this is a safety. I actually do not ever feel at risk in violence in this setting. Now maybe I'm just being a little naive.
We just ain't touching.
I certainly ain't push no, you know, consciously push no serious kick your ass kind of buttons either. You know,
what, so we said, what we say.
Risk reduction behavior. You know.
It may not come out here, but what I was getting at is a lot of times that whole part of our maleness is that tendency towards locking it. And that's the risk in that violence, in acting it out. It's going to come out
somewhere.
Way or another, and oftentimes in a violent way. But again, not all the time, because it may be violence against ourselves, we beat up on ourselves and hurt ourselves. One of the things I do in groups that are closed groups, where there are people coming in and we meet over a length of time, sometimes going around earlier on, people talking about what is helpful. You know, like, no, if I knew that ahead of time, I mean, it's all right to learn it as it's happening to, and that's more powerful in some ways, but there's something to be said, something about, this is what I do, or this is what matters to me, or this is what's important to me, I want you to know this, because it's likely going to be a part of this process. So know that ahead of time that I would work with you. You need to be caught.
Yeah, I'm recognizing the time.
Oh, yeah,
that's
close. I know. What I want to say is that I'm okay for another Monday, but I need a break. I can't do another Monday back to this Monday. I mean, I need some breaks in the Mondays. Okay. So I just want to say that it seems like Monday is a good time for us. And
you know, we had said we were going to
do back-to-back Mondays, and we've gotten done a long time. I have to confess to that.
So
but
I
also think it's about being out of the MS. Something about being out of MSV where we tend to work more.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you why. Well, let me take that back. There's a generalized theory about that. That I have, and that, well, I don't think it's mine, but wherever we experience a source of pain is not the place to do the work.
To do the work.
it's kind of like, I know, for example, victims of incest in a home, one of the worst things is to go back to that home, even after you've done a lot of work around it. You enter that house. And it's like all the energy around that trauma is right there present, and it becomes very oppressive. Unless you exercise the house somehow, and sponge of all that evil. But you've got to get out of that space to do your work.
Well, then looking at your space, you know, just the invitingness of it, honey, definitely makes you feel
comfortable. My house is a house of peace. Constructed a house of peace. And matter of fact, a friend of mine came over here and tried to have a fight with me, and I had to put her out. And he was like, girlfriend, you will not despoil this house with that negative energy. And she's so shocked that I put her ass out.
I love it. I can't wait to practice that. I'm going to do that because I have let people spoil my space, but I'm going to put the next one out.
Yes.
If including myself.
She was hurt and she wanted a fight. And it took me about an hour of struggling with it and realized this woman really wants a fight. I had to ask her to leave because I didn't want to despoil.
That was one of my greatest pains. I mean, in terms of, I remember crying profusely because there was two friends of mine who were staying at my apartment. It got physical. And it was less about what was going on. It's like, that doesn't happen in this place. It's tainted now. I mean, it really was. And they were staying there. I mean, they were just moving to Atlanta. And I said, you've got to go. I'm giving you a certain time. I can't handle it. It just really, there's an energy that is left in there. I mean, you know, it's like violence is in there.
Well, yeah, you have a peaceful space, honey.
Because that's one thing, people came to the house and go, how did this space be so safe? Mm-hmm. In a way that maybe I don't feel. I was like, yeah, it is.
You can tell.
Yeah, so, yeah.
The safety is you want to get out of here if you're going to engage in unsafe behavior, and that's what you're going to feel about this space. You can't fight that.
You can't. It's not going to happen here.
It's really hard.
Look in the air.
I still have appreciated struggling with y'all these past two Mondays. I have enjoyed it. As much hard work as it has been, you know, it's really personally helped me in my journey.
Next Monday is the 28th, and I'm not going to be out of town anyway.
I want to say that we don't have to do this now. I'm just acknowledging that. Well, if you all want to do that later,
like
that's
us,
fine.
At least set a date.
I like us to be all together as we set
okay.
our date.
Okay.
That's
cool.
The only way
you're
going to have
it. Makes me feel like we all make the same commitment at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's when we scatter out and then try to contact each other by phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's
like
a lot of our stuff gets in the way at that point.
I hear you. I hear you.
Uh-huh.
Well,
we
can appreciate that. I can appreciate that.
Doesn't feel like that for y'all.
No, it ain't feel like that. That's a reality. When you don't have people in the room trying to hook them up, then you don't. It don't happen.
Because I have a 3 o'clock appointment anyway, because I'm going to have to leave soon.
Ooh,
okay.
I'm
going
to have to go home and rest.
I only got today and half of tomorrow, so I leave town for a week.
Well, I'm also looking for a job, y'all, so give me that energy.
Okay.
You know, preferably to do this kind of work.
Yeah, it's going to be
misguided. How do y'all feel about either November 4th or November 11th?
We won't be,
which is November 4th is 2 weeks from today.
So,
November 11th is 3 weeks from today. Should we construct a response to MSV in the interim?
What? I'm sorry,
I was asking two questions. How do people feel about either November 4th or 11th, again, which are Mondays? And should we construct a response to MSV in the interim?
Well, either one of the days are fine with me.
The 4th is not a good day for me.
The 11th? It's almost kind of hard to determine what kind of response MSB needs, seeing as that we're still kind of like, they're up in the air, but I don't think we are. You know, I think that we as a group have readied ourselves to respond, which is the work we set out to do. Now, in terms of what that setting will look like, it depends on how he comes back to you all as a staff as to whether you all will do that work and how they will call on us as AI to support the board around looking at some of these hard issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then in your piece, Loretta, in terms of how we take some power, is this a piece where we want to take a position where we will just give them our response?
Well, I think a couple of things are going to happen, whether we act or not. Number one, there's going to be a staff meeting tomorrow where some of this stuff is going to be raised. I think it is incumbent upon us to expressly give permission to those of you who are staff to relate.
Yeah.
What understandings we have.
And
you
I
know,
think based
and
on what you all, the method you use, is agreeable to me,
yeah.
You know, with
right.
the stipulations.
Well,
that's one thing. Secondly, at the board level, there's going to be energy, activity, which I hear from UTV, we're not necessarily interested in derailing, but at the same time, we don't want it to proceed under those flawed assumptions, i.e. that this is a problem with Kwame and his failure to fit into our process rather than this is a problem with us. But the saving grace of that would be that they are, rather than a group of white men going off and figuring out how better to be white, how to be better white men, which is kind of a paradox.
Thank you.
Probably encouraging them to begin to construct a way to work with AAI now around this. Because maybe accelerate our timetable, but at least I think we have greater influence into their process if we allow.
Is that some kind of invite? Huh? Is that some kind of invite? Like to come visit with us, sit with us, and listen to us, observe us? I mean, what is that? What does that mean?
Well, it's work with them in terms of.
And I mean, we don't have to answer that question now, but I that's a question that I would have. What does it mean for that to happen?
That's a good question.
You know?
For me, any and all of the above is fine. But that doesn't mean that's okay for everybody else.
Right.
Like I said, my,
right.
I've already said my degree of
mm-hmm.
safety is
right.
not around them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that may not be right for everybody, and particularly given their troubled relationship to Kwame, I would think that that would address your question of safety. I mean, I can't put words in your mouth.
Well, outside of resolving, as you pointed out earlier on, in terms of resolving some stuff for them and clarifying some issues, my work is with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I see it. And that's where, you know, it's, I mean, I'm committed to us. And I want to say, too, this is a pretty much long statement, but I think what Lisa's talking about. My level of love and commitment and respect continues to increase with us. My respect, admittedly, for MSV continues to lower. You know, it's almost like, yeah, all right, yeah, that's kind of confirming what my spirit was telling me. You know, my work is here with you folks. I mean, ultimately, what I want to see is, let me say this too. I'm about healing the black family, first number one. It does not mean that I hate white folks, because I don't hate white folks. I would like to see a better world, but I'm trying to deal with family first. But it does not mean that I don't work with white folks.
I think
yeah.
that what's going to happen is some delegated subset of AAI will work with them. Those that are most willing to engage in that pain. Not everybody needs to be willing to engage
yeah.
in that thing.
Yeah.
Mm. that's a reality.
Okay. I hear that. What I had thought about, and I too think that it'll probably come in this staff meeting tomorrow, you Lester. And my thought was to get some time with you, Lester, and acknowledge that when it comes in the room, it'll be coming in the room with us as a first in that environment. And to just simply acknowledge that you and I need time to process whatever that be, as opposed to responding to whatever it may be that comes in the room at that moment. And acknowledge that right there, and then you and I, you know, do. But I mean, it to me, it acknowledges some solidarity with you and I at that moment. And it doesn't, you know, either you or I being put on any kind of spot to respond.
Is it predictable what they're coming with, though? I mean, based on what...
I'm just saying it could happen. It may not. It may not. But if it did, that you and I would respond that
okay.
we'd want time to process that ourselves before responding.
Because the bottom line is anything in terms of any other interventions with MSB as a whole and the board, that we say we're going to be actively one big part of guiding that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that discussion hasn't taken place in terms of what it's going to look like yet. So we got to meet again before any action takes place anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more, I like what you said, and that would be
okay.
fine.
Okay.
The piece around, if I'm hearing correctly, that you're okay with the piece in terms of something in addition, and not in place of, but in addition to whatever we come up with for the whole organization, including the board, that work for the men on staff using that model and the concerns raised by Lisa, could be something that would be all right to them.
Sound like a good starting point.
I thought
you
so.
Really started like sounding like a good starting point. Mm-hmm. Understanding that it's not a fully developed, flushed
right.
down, dotted
yeah.
every T, crossed every I kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real damn good place to start.
Which I said.
And it works, and it builds on what is already familiar
exactly.
to people,
mm-hmm.
which makes it even better.
Right.
It's not introducing a whole new model,
mm-hmm.
but it's expanding on an existing model. So.
And they can't leave the room when it's about themselves.
I wish y'all would stop putting your hands up and just be.
let's get this date
well,
so you
hard.
Can go.
It's
the
hard.
11th,
the
11th
is okay with me.
Okay.
11th is okay with me.
It's
not
hard.
Okay. Is that all right with everybody
it's
else?
It's just waiting to be acknowledged. That's what it means.
Well,
but
there are folk in this room who will talk all day long by themselves and never stop.
That is
everybody.
True.
Everybody
will. I don't think so.
We'll get to that. But I actually do think that's a way of, please look at me. Please pay attention to me. We'll go on.
Peace and love, everybody. It's been fun.
Yes.
We're
all right.
We're just challenging.
And I love it.
Some
I love it.
Guys,
we'd rather thank you again for hosting us. And I wonder if this means that we will come back here next time or.
Okay.
Yes. Take your star, you too much. Every time you get brighter and brighter.
Oh, I'm here. This allows me to.
I got your place where I look forward to the smile, you know? If you're a power, don't say, I'll be crying up to the same level. I wish you were going to take me this high.
I love to be on the outside.
Yeah, so y'all give a nice space. I love that.
Are you in town?
I love you.
Well, see, I think I would understand what we should rotate people's spaces because I want to hoard all this energy right here. That'd be my only concern. You know?
Thank you for everything.
Bye-bye.
That
might be a good idea.
See you in a while.
Walk around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll work.
I'm just asking Loretta. Loretta, is there any particular walking trail around here you would recommend?
Walking
trail. Yeah, we're going to walk.
Ooh, Loretta says walking like she what?
You got to do that freedom
program. I got a treadmill, so I don't walk. I don't know.
There's that car center trail, that freedom trail that runs along.
Yeah, we're going to make it easy because we don't have a lot of time. We're just going to walk around.
Oh, y'all look around?
No.
I'll
talk to you.
All I know is the kids have roots through the woods that I don't know nothing about. The kids walk through the woods all the time, and I don't know nothing.
Those
woods, but I don't know nothing about which way they go or how they go or anything.
Watch out for the rabbits.
Nah, and the raccoons and the possums.
Yeah, oh, I have raccoons.
We have seen raccoons and possums, too.
We walk the streets.
I was going to say, I would walk circle the
block.
Because if you go this way on Dale, then you'll get to the next corner, make a right there. Just make a succession of rights, and you'll end up back here.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yes.
So you're going to be here?
And we never did get TV's point in that he was raising his hand. And, oh, I'm going to be here.
He's left in his
village. Yes.
Until,
I heard that big fun.
Yeah, I'm going to be here until about...
I have to use the bathroom in your room.
That's all right. Lord, you put the seat back down.
Oh, I thought it was already up. I didn't.
Bullshit.
I don't recall putting it up, seriously.
Maybe a man. I didn't go in that one. Maybe a
man. Well, I was safe enough to go in there. And
that's
no
quite
door.
All right.
Yep, it will be in the high, and 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 the high